Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcasts. I'm so glad that you've chosen to listen to this session. Today, we're going to be talking with Tim Peter about digital marketing. Tim and I are both members of the National Speakers Association, and Tim and I met at a New Jersey chapter meeting where I became fascinated with his knowledge about digital marketing and wanted to bring his information to you. Tim works with Fortune 500 leaders and also startups to help them deliver innovative, effective e-commerce, digital marketing, and online customer service initiatives. Tim is an expert in digital transformation, customer experience, and marketing strategy. His recent efforts include helping clients develop detailed content personalization strategies and improved on-site customer service offerings, certainly something that we think about in working with attorneys to make sure that they are pleased with what we're doing to help them with their cases. And Tim also has expertise developing strategic digital marketing plans and leading comprehensive digital transformations across a broad range of industries. Tim is now in charge of Tim Peter and Associates, but before that, he worked with the world's largest hotel franchisor and the world's premier independent luxury hotel representation firm to help them achieve billions of dollars in online revenue while also delivering significantly reduced costs. He worked with Charles Schwab and company in their digital customer service department, and those initiatives won him the company's Rookie of the Year award. Tim, that's quite a background. I'm so pleased that you'll be able to take the time to talk with us today.
Well, Pat, thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to it. This should be a really fun discussion.
Our topic is digital marketing, something that is important for independent business owners like legal nurse consultants or for legal nurse consultants who work in law firms and other agencies to be aware of in terms of how the public and their potential clients find out about them. I know that I've just shared with our audience a very quick overview of your background. How did you become expert in the subject of digital marketing?
Well, thanks, Pat. I appreciate it. It's always nice to be called an expert, but I will tell you, this is a hard topic to be an expert for long. For me, that's what makes it fun, because it's always about discovery. I really enjoy learning. I really enjoy the fact that this set of interests in this set of topics changes regularly, but there's some really simple ways and a really simple framework that I've found works to stay on top of what's happening and make sure that you're actually focused in the right areas, which are, first, ask, what is the trend? What is the thing that people are talking about? What is it all about? Second, why does it matter to my brand and business or my clients' brands and businesses? And then third, once I've asked that, what do I do with it? How do I take that and actually make it relevant and useful to the needs of my business and to my clients' businesses? And then finally, I have what I always call a do, delegate, and defer list. You know, which of those trends do you have to do something about, Which ones can you delegate the learning or the expertise to another person on your team, which could include your boss, it could include your client, it could include other vendors, because you can't really be expert in everything, but you can say, this is a great thing for me to leverage somebody else's expertise and experience for. And which ones just aren't important enough yet to spend any time on, and then you can defer those till later. So I always think if you can ask those questions of what's the trend, why does it matter, what do I do about it, and if you're going to do something, are you the person to do it? Should you delegate it? Or is it safe to defer until later? That helps you keep up with this rapidly evolving and constantly changing set of skills and set of knowledge that you have to do digital well.
And it certainly does rapidly change. I heard a speaker earlier this year who talked about the importance of learning the principles and recognizing the difference between the principle and the tactics.
I completely agree with that. You know, it's funny. There's so many things that have changed. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and I will tell you that the tools that we use today are very different than the tools we used 20 years ago. But those core principles of being aware of what your customer's needs are, listening to the customer, using data to drive your decisions, testing to see what's working and double down, you know, let the market tell you what's actually working, have remained true for the entire time. So once you learn those kinds of things, it becomes much simpler to adapt as new tactics and new techniques and new tools come into play.
I notice also, from the standpoint of being on the mailing list of some internet marketers, that there's a whole focus on learning and selling the most recent technique, the flurry of emails that say, oh, this is terrific. And then within a year, that newest trend and technique has been replaced by something else. And I know that the people that you work with are exposed to the same type of fads and trends as my market is. But I think one of the ones that is not a fad or a trend is attracting people to a website. That method has changed over the years in terms of the tactics, but I think the principle is you don't want to create a website and then have it sit there collecting digital dust without anyone coming to the website.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you, it's funny, you know, as you think about principles, I'm going to tell you about a book just for a quick moment called Scientific Advertising that was published by Claude C. Hopkins in 1923. Mm. And a lot of the things that we do from a principles standpoint in terms of, you know, gaining awareness for your website and gaining people's interest to actually visit and then turning that interest into desire and then turning that desire into action is something that's been around for going on 100 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, the tools don't change very often, but the principles are really not that new at all. So, you know, if you can learn those kinds of things, it's really helpful. And you're exactly right. We do want to make sure people find our websites. We do want to make sure people find our content. Because if you cannot be found in search, if you cannot be found in social, for all intents and purposes today, you don't exist. Right? Once upon a time, if I can tell a story from way, way back, there used to be this thing that people had in their houses called a phone book.
Mm. It's holding up my monitor right now, actually.
Right. Of course it is, right? Because, you know, that's about all they're useful for any longer for most customers, for most clients. You know, certainly some people still use them, but increasingly it is nothing more than a paperweight or a great monitor stand. And instead, people turn first to their computer or to their mobile phone. Half of all searches conducted in the last year were conducted on mobile, regardless of what people were searching for. And 75 to 80% of the population in this country are never more than 3 feet away from their mobile phone at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it it becomes critical that you're able to be found and people actually know where you are when they reach, instead of for the Yellow Pages, when they reach for their mobile phone or their laptop or their tablet, so that you actually can appear and help them answer their questions.
I'd like to focus on how you get found. One of the terms that I'd like you to explain to us is search engine optimization, also abbreviated as SEO. What is it and why should we care about it?
Sure. So search engine optimization is the set of techniques and tactics that we use to ensure that when somebody searches for you, your website comes up. Your website appears in the search results, and ideally near the top of the search results. There's an old joke about if you want to hide something on, if you want to hide something from people, the best place to hide it is on page 2 of Google. Because if you're not on the top of the page, you know, people simply don't click through. Google's trying to give customers the best answer. And I use Google as a placeholder for Google or Bing or Ask or whatever your favorite search engine happens to be. But Google gets most of the search traffic, so it tends to be the one we focus on. So it's really about making sure that your website appears or that your content appears when people ask the questions that they have. And while you're exactly right, it's absolutely known as search engine optimization or SEO, I tend to think of it as ACQ, or answering customer questions. Because I think it's very easy to get overwhelmed by all the various techniques and all the various, you know, dark magic that people talk about in terms of how you appear at the top of Google. And instead, focus on, are you answering customer questions effectively? Are you helping your customers to get where they need to in their customer journey and help them at their exact point of need?
So how does that translate out into the content that you put on the website if you're focusing on answering customers' questions?
Sure. Great question. It really comes down to two things. First off, Google makes a technology that actually reads your website. It actually looks at the content, and it is relatively sophisticated. It's called an algorithm or a spider, or depending on who you talk to, it can be called some other things. But it's basically a bit of technology that can look at the content and, to a degree, understand what this content is about. So that when someone asks a specific question, because, you know, when you go to Google right now and you type in a specific thing, what you're doing is you're asking a question, right? You're saying, I'm looking for a legal nurse consultant, or I'm looking for a legal consultant, because maybe they haven't thought about the nurse part, or I'm thinking about something like a malpractice suit, right? They're really asking a question. And so Google looks at your content to say, does this page talk about that topic? Is this page relevant to what the person who's asking this question is actually trying to find out? And then the second thing it pays attention to, in a big way, is do people link to this content? Because obviously, if other people are linking to your content, that's sort of a vote that this is a good answer to a question that somebody might have. And so using those two things in concert with one another, the quality of the content as Google evaluates it, and the quality of the links as they are also evaluated, helps point out that this must be the very best page or the very best pages that answer the question that the customer really had when they typed in whatever that keyword is that they typed in.
Let me stop for a minute and help you get some perspective on this before continuing the show. You don't have to figure this all out on your own. One of my newest books ramps up your knowledge of online marketing with 9 chapters on using websites and social media to draw clients to you. The chapters on websites include why you need a website, the critical importance of website security, the wonderful WordPress websites for LNCs, attracting prospects to your website, and secrets of driving traffic to your website. These are all chapters specifically related to websites. The book is called How to Get More Clients: Marketing Secrets for LNCs. It's part of my Creating a Successful LNC Practice series. You may order this book at http://lnc.tips/creating-series, and we will ship it right to you. You can get a 25% discount on the book by using the code LISTENED, which tells us you heard about this on my podcast. Cool, right? Let's continue with the show. And the relevance is an important issue. Some of the people listening to this call may remember when websites created by less scrupulous people than you and I had stuffed keywords, particularly of a pornographic nature, in an attempt to get a person to the website. And Google caught on to that particular strategy and decided that they were going to stamp it out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Google is very, very, very smart. And I would say that if your business strategy relies upon trying to be smarter than Google, it's probably not the best business strategy, right?
Right.
They've got a lot of really smart folks who spend all day trying to make sure that, you know, people don't game the system. Because, you know, what Google's really trying to do is answer what is the single best page, not even website, but page that answers the question a customer has. We've all seen that I'm feeling lucky button on Google's homepage for years. When you click on that, what's actually happening is it's taking you directly to the page that they think is the best answer. And so that's really their commitment to say, we know enough to know what's the best possible answer for this specific question at this specific time. And so people who try to game the system are, you know, the bad guys in Google's world, and they actually have a full team there called the Google Web Spam team, who spends a lot of their day just tweaking the algorithm and, you know, tuning the machine to ensure that pages that are bad answers to questions never appear. They will blacklist sites and knock them out of the search results, you know, for either indefinite periods or in some cases, you know, permanently, based on people simply trying to scam the system. So don't be that guy is really it's really my quick and dirty advice on that one.
Well, with that in mind, when Legal Nurse consultants are writing content for their websites, they may decide that they want to have, for example, the word medical malpractice be the keyword for that particular page. And I know that Google has had trouble with people who have used a word too often. Could you fill in a little bit of that background and give us some guidance about how often a particular keyword should be used on a page?
Sure, certainly. So there's a lot of myths out there that they'll, you know, people will talk about you know, the frequency with which a keyword appears on a page. And you know, they'll tell you, in some cases they will tell you, oh, it should never be more than 5%, oh, it should never be less than 1%, etc. I think that that's probably thinking about it too mechanistically, right? Too machine-like. What instead you should be focused on is the fact that if you have a term that is very distinct, so let's take medical malpractice as a for instance. If you have a short bit of content on the page, then the percentage of time that a word like medical malpractice might appear is going to be relatively high, because, you know, you might have to talk about it 4 or 5 or 6 times, and if it's a, you know, 100-word little definition of what medical malpractice is, it's kind of hard not to have it appear a bunch. But what's important is that it appears organically, and I don't mean organically in the sense of organic search, I mean organically in the sense of the way it would sound if you were simply talking to a person about it. Likewise, if you're writing a very lengthy page, you know, 1,000 words, 1,500 words, it's entirely possible that your keyword frequency is going to be lower probably because you're going to get into more nuance, you're going to get into more detail, you might have more synonyms that you will use. So you really want to think about what are the questions that your customers have, and what's the best way to answer that question. I'm sure your listeners, and Pat, I'm sure you run into this yourself all the time, where you know the questions that customers ask you constantly. So it becomes more a question of, if you were going to answer them, how would you answer them? Write that. Make that your content. And you'll find that medical malpractice, in this specific instance, appears relatively naturally. And it'll probably fall somewhere between that 1% and 5%. But you don't need to, you don't need to play with it too much. If you do find you have really short content, and, I'm making this up because realistically you do want to target 300, 400 words as a minimum on a page. But if you have 300 to 400 words and it's only appeared once, you probably want to put it in a couple more times just to make sure that it's clearer to Google that's what you're talking about. Not stuffing, but simply making it very clear that that is the topic of the page. If you have a very lengthy page, your keyword frequency might be a little lower, and that's okay, right? It's not getting hung up on what the frequency is so much as, does the term appear? Do related terms appear that you would often use in those kinds of discussions? And does it all appear very naturally in a way that it would, just as if you were having a discussion with someone?
If I might give an example, the keyword stuffing that would be unnatural would sound something like, are you an attorney handling a medical malpractice case? I'm a legal nurse consultant who can help with medical malpractice cases so that you take valid medical malpractice cases and you don't end up losing your medical malpractice cases and spending a lot of my time unnecessarily on your medical malpractice cases, period.
Exactly. That's the kind of thing that raises red flags for Google all the time. That's the kind of thing where they look at it and say, okay, that's not the way people talk. But if you said, are you an attorney focused on medical malpractice cases? Or are you a legal nurse consultant helping attorneys with those same sorts of cases? Right? That's much more natural. I don't know as many synonyms in this specific case, but you might go on, say, malpractice is a very serious, charge or what have you. And, something, 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 right? Just what is natural? If you're always saying medical malpractice, medical malpractice, medical malpractice, medical malpractice, as you did perfectly, Pat, that's definitely going to look unnatural. If you say medical malpractice, and you say malpractice, and you say malpractice case, and you say, I don't know a synonym for malpractice.
Negligence.
Negligence, mm-hmm. Right, perfect. That's going to sound very natural. It'll be very clear to Google what the page is about, but also will be sufficiently present on the page that it doesn't feel inorganic or like keyword stuffing at all. Write for people, really, is what it boils down to. Don't write for the search engine.
Right, write for people, not for the spiders.
Exactly.
Is there any tool that we can use that would help give us feedback on how effective we are writing for search engine optimization?
There are a number of tools out there. If you're using something like WordPress, the Yoast SEO plugin is one that I particularly like. There are others, but that is a Yoast, is a terrific tool. And it will actually give you a quick little thumbs up or thumbs down grade. It's actually red, yellow, green to say, are you doing an effective job of being appropriately SEO friendly? It's not hard and fast, which is why it's just red, yellow, green, but it gives you a sense of, okay, I've basically checked the right boxes to ensure that, my content is easily read, has the keyword present, isn't reusing a keyword that you've used again and again and again, because when that happens, you'll have pages on your own site that will compete with one another for Google's attention. And just help you get a really good sense of whether or not your content is structured correctly to help Google understand what it is you're actually talking about.
Yes, that's one that I particularly enjoy working with, and I love it when the light turns green because that means I'm done.
Exactly. Exactly right.
I know that you've talked in this podcast so far about the content that is on a website and answering the questions that your customers have. What other factors should we be aware of for developing content for a website?
So there are a couple of things that I would encourage people to think about. The first is you want to think in terms of the way a reporter would. If you think about, if you have any exposure to what they teach in journalism school, reporters are always taught to answer a series of questions: who, what, where, when, why, how. Right? So the better a job you can do of answering those questions for your customers: who are you talking about? What are you talking about? Where does it matter? When does it matter? Why does it matter? And how can they learn more or take the next step? That's really critical within your content to help customers get those questions answered. I would also encourage you to think in terms of a framework that I like to think of as snackable, shareable, and sharp content. And what I mean by those is, well, first off, when we say that it's sharp, we mean that it's focused on a clear point. What is the point of the page? Be very, very clear about that through the whole way. So, for instance, if you were writing a piece or a page on your site about medical malpractice, what's the point of the page? Is the point of the page to answer a potential customer's question, a potential client's question about what medical malpractice is and why it's important that they've taken certain steps to protect themselves? Is it you've just been charged with medical malpractice and this is what you need to do next? Is it you've been charged with medical malpractice and have a real problem on your hands, and so this is how you contact me so I can help you with my case, or here's why you should choose me so I can help you with your case? But be very clear about those. One of the problems a lot of pages have, a lot of websites have, is that their pages try to do too much work. And customers get lost as they're reading them because they can't actually figure out A, what their point is, and B, what the appropriate next step is. From a snackable perspective, what you're trying to do is make that content easily digestible, which can mean that the content on the page is short. But since you want to target at least 300 to 400 words, it also means chunking up that content with things like headlines and bullet points so that customers can look at it quickly, get the answer to their question that they need, and then take the appropriate next step. And when we talk about shareable, obviously social plays a huge role in how your content gets out there, because maybe the person who finds you isn't the person who's got a medical malpractice issue. Maybe it's that person's colleague. Maybe it's that person's spouse. Maybe it's a friend of theirs who sees, who says, "Oh, I know you were concerned about this. This is something you should check out." So you want to give them a reason to share, right? Make it emotionally compelling, and also make it easy to share in terms of make sure there's a share button right on the page or an email this to a colleague button. I'll make sure that if the headline is a certain length, that it fits in a tweet so that it's 140 characters or less so it can be shared without going over the limits there. And if you focus on being snackable, shareable, and sharp, and think in terms of a reporter of who, what, where, when, why, how, you're going to do a much better job in terms of having content that meets your customers' needs, but also meets your business needs.
I like those frameworks. Those are easy to remember and they make a lot of sense.
Thanks.
The last question I wanted to ask you about content is the term content curation. Now, I get asked by legal nurse consultants, for example, is it okay if I copy a news article, say it's about a large personal injury verdict, and I put the entire article on my website? How much can I share? When is it too much? How much of other people's content should I be sharing? Can you comment on that?
Sure. So first off, I need to be really clear. I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on television. So I cannot tell you from a legal perspective. I can tell you from a best practices perspective in terms of how most people do this kind of content curation when they're putting other people's content on their site. Think in terms of the way you used to cite content when you were writing papers in school. It's okay to take a couple of sentences or a very short paragraph or maybe even a quote that illustrates the point the original author was making, the original writer was making, particularly in support of your point, and then include a link and a citation. So, you can say, for instance, as I was reading the other day on so-and-so's blog or on so-and-so's website, where so-and-so's website would be a link to that website, put the quote, use the block quote tag if you're actually pulling content. If you're not familiar with HTML, have your web developer use a block quote tag to put that in quotes. And make sure there's a link back to the original content so people can find it. It's okay. Not everyone is expert in everything. Some people are very good writers and they have said it better than you're going to. Or sometimes there's just no need to be redundant, even if they didn't say it brilliantly. Why reinvent the wheel? Save yourself some time and say, I saw this on so-and-so's website. You should check that out. Here's why it supports my point. And then continue with your point immediately following.
So it sounds like from what you're describing is that we can certainly include content that other people have written as long as it's well attributed, it's brief, it's a short quote, and it's relevant to the information that you're covering on your page.
Absolutely. It's, again, I go back to that whole notion of how you cited content in papers in school, right? You don't want to plagiarize anyone. You want to make sure you're very clear who the original author of that information was. It actually illustrates to your potential clients and to your potential customers that you yourself are a resource because you are well connected to other thought leaders and other thinkers in your industry. It will help you show up in social and or search because it shows that you're sharing content and you're more relevant. It will help the other folks, which generally positions them well and can help you build relationships within your industry. And it's just ethically the right way to handle it, that you're actually being very conscious of not plagiarizing somebody else's material, but instead using it and building on it to support your point and help your customers address their needs.
Your point makes me think about something that I found on another legal nurse consultant's website. I had written a summary of a case that was a Texas case that resulted in a huge verdict of $312 million in a nursing home resident who developed pressure sores. And I summarized the case write-up that I saw. I found on this website my exact summary in my words with no attribution. Mm-hmm. And it implied that the nurse who put that website together was the individual who helped the attorney obtain that verdict.
Right, right. You will run into that. And, there's nothing wrong with sending that person an email saying, hey, I'm glad you found so much value out of my content. I'd really appreciate it if you would link to me. I'm completely serious about this, And if they ignore you or things along those lines, you can, send them another follow-up and then send them another follow-up asking them, I've tried to reach out to you a couple times. Since, if you're not able to put a link, I'd really appreciate it if you'd go ahead and take that down or the like. But, yeah, it's unfair to others. It happens all the time, frequently enough, that it's something to be conscious about. And you certainly don't want to be the person doing that to somebody else. In theory, you could get sued. In practice, that's probably not going to happen, but it's no way to go through life.
Mm-hmm.
Just build on what people are doing, certainly give them credit, and you will find yourself enmeshed in a community of others who act the same way, who tend to be pretty great people. Some of my best friends are people who I first met because I cited something they said in a blog post that I wrote or in content that I wrote for either my site or a client's site, but then has led to some really great relationships and profitable, not just good friendships, which obviously is the most important thing, but also profitable business relationships where we've been able to funnel leads to one another and help each other grow our practices.
Now you're talking my kind of language, Tim.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, I have a network of resources of people where, you know, probably 30% of my business this past year has come to me because of introductions made by a single person who I first linked to on my blog 9 years ago. And there's probably another 20% of my business came from another small group of people who I've linked to over the years as well. So it really does pay off in the long run. That didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen instantly by any stretch. But you build a relationship and you show yourself as an ethical and credible person who's willing to assist others and help them grow, and you reap the rewards many times over.
A really great point that I hope our listeners are picking up on. How can they learn more about you and what you offer, Tim?
So the easiest way is via my website at timpeter.com. If they want to go straight to the blog, it is timpeter.com/blog. I am on Facebook at facebook.com/timpeterassociates. And I'm on Twitter using the Twitter handle at tcpeter. And I can be found on LinkedIn. The link is too hard to tell, but you can just go ahead and do a search for Tim Peter. I'm usually the first one that shows up. And I have a link to LinkedIn on my website as well. So I'm in all the usual places.
And I envy you because your name is virtually impossible to misspell, too. So if you've got Tim Peter, that's really easy.
I will tell you a funny story about this. There is a Tim Peters with an S who is also a consultant in a completely different field, who, of all things, lives about 5 miles away from me. So the one misspelling is sometimes people put an S on the end of my name, and then he shows up if you do a search. But if you do a search for Tim Peter, I usually pop up pretty near the top as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate the time that you spent with us and sharing your expertise with our audience.
Pat, it's been my genuine pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And thanks to all the listeners who have been attentive during this program and picking up key points on search engine optimization, on content development, content sharing, and answering the questions that your customers have about your services. Stay tuned for our next expert interview, which will be next week. And be sure to send comments, questions, anything that you would like to see on the podcast. I'm happy to find out what you're most interested in so that I can focus my guests and my own material accordingly. Thanks so much. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.